Why? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Have you ever said those words? Why me? Why this? Why now? Let me see some hands. Okay. Almost everybody has at one point uttered those words. And so, you know, you might say, why did I lose my job? Why is this investment gone sour? Why is my house not selling? Why is my money not going as far as it used to? Why, why? You know, maybe you even thought, you know, heard somebody else say it, a friend, a loved one, your child. Why me? You know, or maybe you thought it about somebody else. Why is this happening to them? What do you do when you're going, when what you're going through is not what you really want to be going through? Now, how do you hang on to your center? How do you stay in this truth, you know, knowing the truth when you're going through a really rough time? How do you make sense out of it all? This is what I want to talk about today. How to go through something that seems to be an adversity and be able to turn it into an adventure. Would that be helpful for you? Would that be a good thing to know? Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. And that's why I'm talking about it today. Because I know that there are some people here who feel like they're facing these huge, big challenges before them. We're going to talk about how we can turn it around. This is our fifth week of our eight-week fall program that we've called Thriving, Not Just Surviving. Because we want to thrive in this world, right? You know, so we're looking at how to take these spiritual principles that we know and use them to navigate ourselves through this interesting time that we're in. You know, how we can begin to cultivate this consciousness in which we can thrive no matter what's going on in the world around us. You know, we want to learn how to hang on to our center. Stay centered and hang on to it, you know, when no matter what the winds of change are that are coming at us, so that we can stabilize our boat and navigate it to calm waters. And so the series is based on this wonderful book, Spiritual Economics, by Eric Butterworth. He's a Unity minister and author. And it's very interesting that Eric thinks that the economics is a psychological phenomenon. Interesting thought, interesting concept, that economics is a psychological phenomenon. Listen to what he says. The economy, so as far as we are concerned, will always be to us about what we make it, how we decree it, what we expect it to be. That's the only way it can be, because in and of itself, it's nothing. Has no power except what we give it. So you can spend a lot of time in casual conversation, and you can spend most of your day talking about the deficit and the interest rate and how the dollar has, you know, eroded in value, and, you know, what's happening on Main Street and Wall Street, and how, you know, complain about the high prices at the supermarkets and at the gas pumps. But Eric writes in Spiritual Economics. He says, if the consensus is that something awful is happening, then something awful is happening. For the economy, and I love this concept, the economy is little more than a barometer that registers the highs and lows of consciousness. Consciousness, which is just a sense of awareness, a sense of knowing, is the key to all things which happen to us, certainly the key to personal prosperity. The starting point in changing your life from financial reverses to an experience of abundance is the realization, and I love this, that you can change your life by altering your thoughts. That's our third unity principle. You can change your life by altering your thoughts. You begin by taking responsibility for your own life. And in that lies tremendous power when you know that you can be responsible for your life and you can change it by changing your thinking. And so it's not what happens to you. It's how you react to what's happening to you that really counts. It's your attitude that matters. And what it's about is staying connected to your source, staying connected to God when what's happening is the very last thing you want to be happening. That's the key. Hang on to that center. Hang on to God. William Shakespeare once said something I thought was very profound. He said, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So it's not good, it's not bad, it's what you think about it that makes it be what it is. Sort of like a ball game. The bottom of the ninth, all bases are loaded, scores 3-2. The next pitch will determine the game. Is it a ball or is it a strike? The umpire holding the ball in his hand says, it ain't nothing until I call it. It ain't nothing till I call it. And so is it good? Is it bad? It ain't nothing till you call it. We've learned to call our experiences good or bad. What would it take to be able to get to the point that it's neutral? Every experience in life is neutral. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? Neither good nor bad. Because it's nothing until you name it and you call it what it is. Eric Butterworth writes, he writes, life is fundamentally a matter of growing, a growth experience. That's what life is about. We've come here to grow. Missing the mark is one of the ways in which we learn to hit the target. You just made a mistake. You tried hitting the bullseye, you missed. You try it again. Failure is a vital part of achieving success. Isn't that good to know? We have erroneously thought of success as getting there. But where's there? Well, actually, Eric says, success is earning the right to be there. And earning is learning. And setbacks, even failures, may be an important part of that learning. It may be the most important part for you of your learning. Knowing that you missed the mark, try again. That's all it is. So let's take, for an example, unemployment. Some of you may be there today. Some of you may not have a job. But it's not about whether you're employed or unemployed. It really is, how are you dealing with it? You know, what are your feelings? What are your attitudes? Where is your consciousness? It's really about how you are facing it that counts. You know, there are people who are employed who are living in fear of being laid off. And so guess what they're attracting? There are other people who have been laid off, who are not working. And they have complete confidence that this transition is into something even better. Even better. And so where are you in that? So I'd like to share with you this morning three things we can do if we feel like we're facing some seeming adversity that we can do to overcome that feeling. So, first thing, you want to change your attitude about adversity. Just change it. Begin to think of it as an adventure, because that's what it is. Take that adversity and just say, okay, wow, I'm on an adventure right now. And remember who you are. That you see yourself as capable and confident. You know, see yourself with a job because you do have a job. Your job is to get work. Treat it as a job. And determine that you will grow out of this experience. That you will grow from this experience. Now remember Job in the Old Testament? Poor old Job. We say, oh, poor Job. Well, let's take a look at this wonderful character. Because at the beginning of the book of Job, it appears to all outer appearances that Job hasn't made. You know, that he's very successful, he's got great wealth, he has a beautiful home, he has a huge ranch, and everyone highly respects him. And then one day like this, it's all gone. He loses it all. Thieves break in to steal his livestock. Lightning kills his sheep. His house falls down and kills his children. I mean, and on top of that, he breaks out in boils from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. And he gets banished from the town because, you know, he's like, you know, a leper at this point. You know, it's all disgusting. And they say, go out. You've got to live out by the dump. You can't even be in the town. And so here he is. He's homeless. He's despised. And he's rejected. Anything that could have happened to Job happened to him. Anybody relate to that? Sometimes you feel like, not one more thing. But Job was actually, he got caught up in his own fear thoughts. He allowed the outside world to define him. And I think Job needed a little bit of an attitude adjustment. So let's go on and we'll continue with this story. But the second thing, after you change your attitude about adversity, the second thing you got to do is watch your words. Watch your words. There's incredible power in your words. Job said, "The thing I most feared has come upon me." And of course it did. The thing I most fear has come upon me. It's the power of our words. Job defined God as God rewards the good and punishes the sinners. And so Job got caught. He was a victim of his own theology, of his own words. He thought, well, if I'm being punished, then I must be a sinner. But he looked at his life and he said, no, he couldn't find anywhere where he had done anything wrong. Sound familiar? What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? What did I do? How many times have you said that? He's a victim of his own theology. There's power in our words. Put into verbal form only that which you are very willing to have come forth in your life. What are you saying about the financial condition of the world? Could your words be more positive? Because our third unity principle is what we focus on, what we think, what we say becomes our reality, creates our world. So what are you saying about the world in general and about your life in particular? You're creating, you're bringing that forth. Eric Butterworth suggests that a much better word to employ when referring to any kind of challenge, I love this, is project. Project. Note what happens when you say, I have this project. You know, he says it makes all the difference in the world. Take a careful look at the challenges that you're facing, a possible layoff, an important career decision, the inability to make ends meet on your current income. And if you identify these as your problems, there's a tendency to see them with a feeling of resentment and self-pity. Eric says, see the challenges as projects, and you tune in on a whole different flow of consciousness. So your challenges now become your projects that you get to grow from, because projects give you the opportunity to grow. Answers begin to unfold from within you. Creativity begins to flow through you. And you begin to give birth to new insight and new vision. And so after we change our attitude about adversity and we watch our words, the third thing we want to do is to get into action. Get into action. Give birth to that unlimited potential of creativity that is within you. You live in an ocean of God. And you are one with the guiding spirit of light that is within you, and by which you can move through any experience of your life and grow. Eric Butterworth writes, "You are always responsible for the way you accept the things that happen to you. The incident is external. The reaction is always your own. A financial crisis may have occurred. It may appear that you're at the bottom financially, but it is still out there." And I love what he says. You may be fired from your job, but no one can ever fire you from the universe. Isn't that great? You can be fired from your job, but you can't get fired from the universe. You're here. And so your job is not who you are. And you have the responsibility to change your thoughts about anything that's happening in your life and therefore change your life. That's what we teach here in Unity. And so Job spent a lot of time in the silence, 7 days. Now, notice there are other sevens in the Bible. It's a symbolic number. Very beginning of the Bible, we have how many days of creation? 7. 7 metaphysically represents that time it takes to create something. The time it takes to create something. So here, Job spends time in the silence, and what he realizes is that the God he thought he knew was really a stranger. He had not developed or experienced that intimate, inner, personal relationship with His presence and power within him. So when he was able to do that, when he was able to sit in the silence and really have an experience of God, then he realized that he was responsible for his misfortunes. God wasn't his adversary. He was his own adversary. Remember the Pogo cartoon? I've met the enemy and he is us. We're our own worst enemy. And when Job understood this, when he realized this, when he had this incredible epiphany, this experience of the presence of God, Job's life was restored. And not only was it restored to where it was when he lost everything, but he got back twice as much as he had before. Great lesson for all of us. We tend to stay stuck in pitying Job, but look at the end of the story. That's how we become victorious over any challenges, anything that appears to be adversity in our life. And so I invite you this week. I love this assignment. This is going to be a great assignment. I don't know how you're doing, but I think the first assignment that I gave you was to spend a day, 24 hours, not speaking any negative words, speaking only positive, life-affirming, uplifting words. How many of you got through 24 hours so far? Oh, okay, got about 3 or 4 people. Great, good. So you're still working on lesson 1. I won't ask any about any other lessons. But today is a good one. This is a wonderful one. This week's assignment is live the next 24 hours consciously in the awareness of the presence of God. Live the next 24, and then when you do it for 24 hours, then the next 24 hours, then the next 24 hours, then the next 24 hours, so that you are consciously living in the presence of God. I just want to ask you a few things. You know, live as if God knows everything you say and do. Because God is everywhere present. This energy, this presence, this consciousness is everywhere present. And so if you feel like complaining, do you really think you would if God could hear you? You know, would you argue or be demanding if God is aware of everything you say? Would you spend the day in fear or feeling sorry for yourself if you knew you are living in the presence of God 24/7? How would you be at work? Would you be rude or angry? Wouldn't you give your very, very best? So try it. Try living 24 hours consciously in the awareness of the presence of God, practicing it and living 24/7 in this awareness of the presence of pure love. Could you be anything but loving? It could it could change your life, and you could experience life in a whole new way. And so I'd like to end now with an inspiring story. It's written by Captain Sullenberger, and who several years ago, if you remember, landed his commercial aircraft that took off from LaGuardia, landed his commercial flight in the Hudson River in New York City. And I think they determined it was the plane hit a flock of birds or something. But shortly after takeoff, they experienced aircraft failure. This is what he writes. He said, "I landed flight 1549 safely in the Hudson River. During every minute of the flight, I was confident I could solve the next problem. My first officer, Jeff Skiles, and I did what airline pilots do. We followed our training and our philosophy of life. We valued every life on that plane and knew it was our responsibility to try to save each one, in spite of the sudden and complete failure of the aircraft. We never gave up. Having a plan enabled us to keep our hope alive. Perhaps in a similar fashion, people who are in their own personal crisis, a pink slip, a foreclosure, can be reminded that no matter how dire the circumstance or how little time you have to deal with it, further action is always possible. There's always a way out of even the tightest spot. You can survive. The trajectory of our lives has changed forever, and we've determined to make good come out of this in every way we can." And so see every experience of your life as an adventure, rather than as adversity. See your life as that wonderful adventure. And what you want to do is you want to change your attitude about adversity. You want to watch your words. Be careful the words that you speak, because that's what you're bringing forth into your life. And then you want to get into action. You know, see all things working together for your highest good. And because, you know, everything in our life can become the best thing that's ever happened to us. Today is an adventure. Make it the best day of your life. God bless you. And so I invite you to take the blue card, affirmation card that you received when you came in. If you need one, you can raise your hand and our ushers will get you one. And then where that space is, we're going to ask you to put your name in. If you need one, raise your hand. Richard will get you one. And then take this home and work with this affirmation. If you need the other 4 weeks, we've got extra ones out on the table in the atrium, and you can pick up and make sure you get all of your 8 affirmations at the end of the series. But let's say this together. Again, where the blank is, put your name in together. Within me is the unborn possibility of limitless potential, and today is my opportunity to give birth to new ideas, new strength, and new vision. I, Nancy Wirth, am squarely on the side of the prosperity potential. And so it is.